Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Tomorrow at this time, the whistle will have been blown on the World Cup. We will know who the champion is. It'll bring this amazing summer to a conclusion, and we'll either have Spain as a two-time world champion or Argentina will have a fourth star to add above their crest. We'll tell you all about it tomorrow night. Don't forget, 6 to 9 after the final, we'll be at Brewhouse South Downtown, breaking it all down. We'll be at South Downtown all day long. Definitely one of the best spots to come watch this. The whole crew will be there. We'll have plenty to talk about, I am sure. Hour number 2, Atlanta Soccer tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz alongside. We've got John Aiken coming up in the next segment talking some tactics. But, Maddie, let's talk about the star of stars who is going to be on the field in this match tomorrow. And let's come at it from a little bit. This guy, he's number 10. He's Lionel Messi, you know, he's pretty good. Let's come at this from a little bit different perspective because I feel like there's been a lot of the – while he's great, is he the best ever? Which I think he is. I think he's shown that in this tournament, regardless of what happens tomorrow. There's been a lot of the, wow, that's crazy. He took a photo with baby Lamine Yamal, which is nuts. Absolutely.
That's nuts.
Insane.
That's actually insane.
That happened, but there's really nothing else to add to that. I want to touch on a couple different things that haven't got as much play in the United States, maybe, on this. 10 years ago, almost exactly 10 years, maybe 10 years and a month ago, Argentina lost the Copa America Centenario final to Chile at MetLife Stadium, where the final is going to be in the World Cup tomorrow. Scoreless 90, went to extra time, went to penalties. Messi had lost two finals in the previous 2 years, the last one in penalties as well to Chile in the Copa America. He took the first penalty in the shootout, and he missed it. At the final whistle, he sat down on the field. He was devastated. He was in tears. And in the hallway outside of the locker room, he announced his international retirement at 29, 10 years ago. It's been a very different next 10 years. But anyway, he announced his retirement. He said, my decision's made. I haven't managed to become champion with Argentina. I'm leaving. I can't do this anymore, basically. Teammates including Javier Mascherano, Kun Agüero, a teenage Enzo Fernandez, before he became a teammate, wrote a letter that went viral in Argentina at the time.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I got to read it the other day. That's incredible.
Like, and I think it took him walking away for Argentina to build a different relationship with Lionel Messi, because at this point in his career, he was the best player in the world and had won tons of things with Barcelona. I think he'd won 3 Champions Leagues by this stage. but he hadn't won with Argentina. And there was a lot of frustration because Argentina hadn't won anything since 86, since early 90s with the Copa America, sorry, 91. So him leaving, I think, changed that relationship. And he's only played at MetLife one time since. It was a Copa America match in 24 against Chile, and Argentina won. He picked up an injury, didn't play a ton in that. I think what's so interesting about the full circleness of this entire day for him is, yes, he's back 10 years later in another final in the same building, but he really grew up in Spain. He went at 13 years old to Barcelona, leaving Rosario. Barcelona, the club, agreed to fund the hormone treatments that he needed and had been getting in Argentina until his dad lost his job and couldn't afford them anymore. And he was always a small boy, and he needed hormone treatments to reach a normal height. They couldn't afford it, and they couldn't find a club. Newell's Old Boys couldn't afford it at the time. River Plate, Boca Juniors couldn't afford it or weren't interested in paying for it at that time. And a scout had seen him. Barcelona ended up agreeing to fund it. And he grew up from 13 on in Barcelona to the point that he could have represented Spain. But he decided not to because he loved Argentina maybe more. Because, again, he left and it maybe meant more to him being on the other side of the ocean. So it's fascinating that now he gets a chance. And we talked about it last time. He'd never played England before. He's never played Spain in a meaningful game before. And this is the most meaningful game of all games.
That's incredible. I didn't know that, actually, especially. This is why you're the historian of everything. I get a history lesson whenever I come on ASD. This is awesome.
World Cups are special for that, yes.
They are. No, absolutely. I mean, I think the one thing for me that I've always loved about Lionel Messi, I think, is just I always love a player, I think, especially when it comes to, like, work rate. And I think a player that I think just gives it all. I think no matter what it is, no matter how meaningful a match is, no matter if it's a friendly or a preseason. And it's why whenever the conversation's about, oh, it's just a friendly, no, it's not just a friendly. And I think when you have a player like Lionel Messi, it's the conversations that so many people had when he came to MLS. I mean, so many conversations about, oh, well, like, it's a retirement league. It's all this stuff. Lionel Messi is now having the best World Cup ever, and he's been in MLS for a hot minute now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very clear that it's something that Chris Henderson has told you and Mike last night when you guys were talking to him before the Nashville game. Said the exact same thing. I mean, like, it's one of those for me when it comes to Lionel Messi. I love the way I love what he represents in the standpoint of just, I think, the ability of just really committing everything to your craft and committing everything to what you love to do. And I have always admired that about him, and no matter what capacity it is. And he's incredible. That's the only other way to say it. He's just incredible.
It's really funny you say that, because one of the criticisms of him when he wasn't winning for Argentina was that they would call him pecho frío, cold chested. Like, it's an Argentine insult, just basically that he wasn't passionate enough about it. And I think people who knew him well, especially people who knew him well from the Barcelona side of it, were like, that's crazy talk. This guy has lived in Barcelona for most of his life, and he still sounds like he's from Rosario. He never lost his Argentine accent. He never stopped eating his milanesa from Argentina that his mom would make. Like, he's super Argentine. The mate, all of it. Like, very, very Argentine. So I think it wasn't that he didn't want to play with everything for Argentina. I think it was the idea that that's a heavy shirt to wear. It's difficult, and especially when you get given the number 10 and you're all-time idol and everybody's all-time idol in Argentina, Diego Maradona wore that shirt. And Diego coached Messi in the 2010 World Cup. And the video that is one of my favorites of when Messi checked in to his first World Cup game in 2006, 20 years ago, he checked into the game and Maradona was in the stands. And when he checks in, you see the look on Maradona's face. Like, he looks like a kid. He's so excited that Messi's coming into the game because he loved what Messi brought, even as a young player. And Maradona kind of pushed him to find how to be himself and not be the Pecho Frio guy and to be a big personality. And the thing that I will – he's never going to be a giant personality, but he's got more personality than you think. Don't make him angry. We've had these conversations. But
don't make him angry.
Go watch the 2021 Copa America pregame speech. The passion that he delivers that speech with, and it's really quick, and he's still kind of soft-spoken, but it's very passionate, and it's those kinds of things that have flipped this team from him being a really good player and everybody expecting him to carry them and kind of watching him, like, we'll get out of your way, dude, you do whatever, to now, if he gets touched on the field, five guys are running up to get in the other team's face. And they play so hard for him because he inspires that out of them. It's so fascinating. I've never seen a team like this before in my life in any sport.
I think explaining it, it's so interesting. I've never seen it either. And I mean, no matter where it is, cross sports, anything else. I said it to Abe, and I do think it reigns true. I think he's the metronome of that team for Argentina. Wherever he's going, the entire team is going to go with him and in any sort of capacity. And it's what he represents, I think, not just only to the people on that team, but also I think to Argentina, but also I think to soccer as a whole in every way. I mean, I'm bringing it back to MLS because it really is one of those for me where you had so much criticism, I think, about him coming in the standpoint of, oh, well, you know, oh, that's the end. Like,
he's
going to
get
is.
Worse.
He's going to get worse. And then you see a game like Atlanta versus Inter Miami in 2024, and it's literally a game three series, and it is back and forth. And I mean, it's incredible to see something like that. And it's the same, honestly, it's the same thing too, especially for Inter Miami. You see so many times when that's happening, you see how many people come up and help him. You obviously have a lot of Rodrigo De Paul, obviously, on that team too, so many others. But even guys like Noah Allen, even guys like that stepping up, they're like, all right, hey, you're not messing with him.
He
absolutely
puts in the
not.
Work. He earns that respect. His nutritionist has said that his top sprint speed in this tournament is actually faster than it was in 2022. He scored more goals in 2026 at 39 than he did in 2022. He has more assists in 2026. And one of the things that's really interesting, it kind of leads us into what you'll hear in the next segment with me and John Aiken chatting. Messi, and he did it in the Egypt game, and he did it a lot in the England game, he's drifted to the right late in matches. So he uses that space to get the diagonal pass or the dribble. And we saw both really lead the comeback against England. It's harder to defend. When you go diagonal, it's harder because when you go straight at somebody, they can defend, they can step side to side. When you're going at a diagonal, you've got more passing angles, you've got more different ways you can throw that defender off. Look at the pass he had to Cuti Romero, the center back who was up against Egypt for goal number one. Look at the one that ended up with his goal for goal number two against Egypt. Look at what he did to get Enzo Fernandez free off the short corner from that side. But here's the thing against Spain that is so fascinating. Marc Cucurella, great left back. On that side, he has not been dribbled once in the knockout rounds. Messi has more completed dribbles than anybody in the tournament this year, whether you want to go total output or you want to go dribbles per 90. He's been the best dribbler in the tournament. That's going to be a matchup to watch. Cucurella and Messi, if Messi goes out to the right, he might not in this game, but he did in the two comebacks against Egypt and England, and it led to those comebacks. It was fascinating.
It's so wild. And I think especially for a player like him, it's one of the moments that will stick out to me the most, I think, in the tournament. I think from the standpoint of being in the building and seeing the emotion of it all, that comeback for Argentina against Egypt, it's one where I think in seeing the reactions and being in the building when the celebrations happened after the semifinal, was incredible. I mean, them celebrating with the fans, everything else. Like, I think I had a smile on my face the entire time, like it was happening. But the one thing I'll remember, I think, from the Argentinian and the Egypt game is, I think at the end you see a video, and it's a video that went out, and it's just Messi, I think, so emotional after a game like that. And it's one thing for me, especially in matches, because of just how insane it was in every sort of way. But it's just that sort of reaction does carry so much weight, I think, especially through everybody else watching, but throughout the entire team as well. It shows how much passion and how much heart he puts into that team. And I think it's also a testament too, in the last couple of games, no goals on the board, but who's been involved in all the goals so far? Lionel Messi.
Every single one.
Like, it's one of those things where he is the heartbeat. He is the heart in the ways of the heart of just the emotion, but also the heart in the standpoint of he's literally pumping the blood throughout that entire team and connecting those moments. I mean, that is literally what he does.
Yeah, he's been so key. He's led them back in games where they had no business coming back in. It's been wild to see. Maddie, thank you for the time. You'll be back with us tomorrow on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live from the Brewhouse Cafe, after we know who the champion is. But coming up next, you're going to hear from Oglethorpe men's soccer coach John Aiken. I caught up with him earlier today, chatting about the tactics to look for in this match. That conversation is coming up on the other side of the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. And we're getting ready for this World Cup final. And I think this has been one of, if not the best World Cups that we have ever seen. And I think we have the potential for this to be one of, if not the best finals we've ever seen. And it's really interesting tactically. So I wanted to get a good friend, John Aiken, the head coach at Oglethorpe University, on, because I know, first off, that John, you love the way that both of these teams approach the game, because we've had these conversations before, and these are two teams that I know you have a lot of respect for, and the way that they play is definitely in your DNA as well.
Yeah, I couldn't, like you said, two teams that I admire greatly. Thanks again for having me. Love being on the show anytime I get the opportunity to be with you. Yeah, two teams I admire, two teams that I've drawn from over my career, playing career, and certainly the coaching career. I try to have the teams, any teams that I work with, aspire to play like. And I think we've seen a couple iterations in this World Cup, and we can get into it in a couple minutes, of the highest level of soccer that you could possibly see. So,
yeah, and I think you got the two best soccer playing teams in the final. And look, I think we're both kind of biased in the same way about the kind of soccer that we enjoy. And these two teams are the epitome of it in actually pretty different ways. And that's what's interesting to me. Spain, when we talk about the Spain team with Luis de la Fuente, we know they want to control possession. We know they want to control the pace of play. And I want you to explain a little bit of kind of the way that they play, and especially how important Rodri is to it. Because I feel like a lot of times we're going to focus on goal scorers and guys who have the assists, and we'll do that with Argentina. But in Spain's team, Rodri is so much the key.
Yeah, I was listening to comparison of, I think it was Graham Souness's assessment of Anderson and Declan Rice versus Rodri, and he tore them apart as more center backs than holding midfielders, and opposed to that, you show Rodri, and I think he's spot on. Everything Spain does is about tempo, is about manipulation of space, spacing and timing, and getting the ball from one side of the pitch to the other as quickly as possible, or trapping it in that side. And Rodri, on both the attacking and defensive side of things, does it exceptionally well. You know, he's always looking to play forward as the first option and penetrate, but he can put his foot on it, keep it, drop off, switch the point of attack. You know, knows how to draw a foul when they're building out, you know, by shaping his body the right way, baiting you one way with a body feint one way. I mean, he can beat you so many ways. So I think you're exactly right about the tempo that Spain controls and how important he is. And he's that critical piece. I mean, he's everybody's ideal midfielder on both the attacking and defensive side of the game. So I think it would be a, any holding midfielders, any midfielders anywhere, really, if you want to watch and learn, you know, what he did, you know, the other night is about as good as it gets.
I think with Spain, where I've felt over this, really since they leaned into the heavy Barcelona influence in their style, because in the past, you go back in the day, Spain was very Route one, vertical, physical, you know, La Furia Roja was like a real thing. Yeah. And in 2008, once Pep got to Barcelona and everything started to change, Spain embraced it. But yeah, we've seen Spain over the years, I feel like the difference in the last two World Cups is the guys like Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams, who hasn't been 100% in this tournament. He was great in the last Euros. Alex Baena. It feels like to really elevate Spain, the wingers are so important. What do they add to this team?
I think they force the opposition to be aware and not pinch in as much. You know, and obviously they're very sophisticated. They can come in and, you know, bait some space for the next guy, you know, the outside back to get around, and they manipulate them that way. But you're always constantly worried about that big diagonal switch and the vertical thing. I mean, if you don't drop your line fast enough, your whole back line could be in perfect shape. But if they get around that, it's over. And, you know, the way Lamine Yamal can skate by two or three players forces two and three players in that quadrant. And, you know, and just pulling everybody else apart. So I think if they didn't have the pace on the width or the creativity, you could squeeze a team like that, you know, because you know it's coming from the goalkeeper to the back line to the midfielder and all the way through. And then you could just squeeze but you can't do that with the pace that these guys have in one turn. And if you're too high, your you know, whole pressing philosophy is off.
I feel like we saw Spain in 2022 without the dynamic wingers kind of like that. It was really difficult for them to be dangerous, and opponents kind of squeezed them. Argentina is fascinating the way that they defend, and it's very man-to-man in a lot of phases of play, and they take big chances. And I noticed it in the England game, and it was something that we talked about on AST on Wednesday night after that game. Early on, and really up until the goal comes from the same movement, England had a lot of success playing that long diagonal down the right side, which for Spain is going to be Lamine Yamal. And whether they won the first ball or won the second ball, they were able to then play from that. If you're Argentina, you are who you are at this point. You're not going to be able to change your DNA or your tactics in a big way. But what do you do with such an aggressive defense against a team like Spain that is just waiting for you to be aggressive?
That's a good question. I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, me too. And we won't know until, you know, the first 5 minutes of the game. We'll probably see some things. I don't think they change much. I think they're looking for those key moments. I think they'll rely on the fact that they'll try to feel their way through the game and not give anything away early where they're chasing. But again, that's going to put them in a position where they've proven time and time again, even if they're down, they're going to come back. And in some ways it almost incites the beautiful chaos that they create with the free flowing movement. And I think going back to both teams' philosophies and style of play, it's fascinating that, you look at all these big European teams and they have, you know, he's the profile of 6'4 and 6'3 and he's good on the ball. And then you look at these two teams that have made their way to the finals. And I think this is the inspiring thing for players around the world and certainly in the U.S. that it is really about game intelligence. It is really about the timing of a header. You know, Lautaro Martinez pops in between John Stones, one of the best center backs in the world. And who's the right back? It was a Gehi or at the time. I forgot who.
I think he got between Gehi and Stones.
Yeah, you know, it's about reading the flight of the ball, dropping in the right technique at the right time, game intelligence about holding off your run a little bit longer until you see the flight of that ball. I mean, some of these little details, and Spain's the same way. I mean, look at their front line. I mean, 5'8", 5'7", 5", you know, it doesn't matter. And they're still getting on the end of the crosses. I mean, I was fascinated with Argentina when England was, you know, lumping the ball long. And I was like, oh, here it is. This is how they're going to just somehow bail themselves out. And you have these guys, Otamendi, Otamendi, 37 now or something like
that? Yeah, he's up there.
And 5'10"? And he's out jumping these guys, and it's just the attitude, the timing. Obviously, there's a lot of experience there, but so much of being a soccer player and the game at the highest level, athleticism is extremely important. Everybody out there is a great athlete, but it's not profiled of an athletic profile the way the NFL and the NBA is. I mean, they're look how many people are in the top. In the biggest sporting event in the world, you know, for the next 4 years for sure, until the next one comes around, that aren't the most athletic players out there, but they are the smartest soccer players. They have some of the best technique. They read the game. And I think that permeates both sides that are in the final.
So we've seen this happen here in Atlanta in Argentina's two games. And it's really been interesting. It goes back to the game intelligence idea of Lionel Messi finding the game out wide on the right, almost a throwback to how he broke in at Barcelona playing as a right winger. For a player like that, and for maybe more importantly from your perspective, a manager like Lionel Scaloni, to, because we've seen him as well, and there's a really big clip that got a lot of play in Argentina of him during one of the hydration breaks having a conversation with his six, Leandro Paredes, and talking about how to build up and what the guys were doing. And Scaloni was taking it on and saying, okay, what do you need? What can I give you to help make you feel more comfortable and play better? Right. And he does it. Messi sees the game out wide to the right. Okay, cool. Scaloni starts making subs to change that, like Nico Gonzalez coming on. How important is it for a manager to have their game plan, but then say, all right, my players are on the field and they're seeing things, and I'm going to take that and help them?
Yeah, great question. I think at that level, I think we all got to kind of read the room, and those are some of the highest players in the world. I think at the international level, or even at the, you know, elite professional level, their colleagues, you know, not so much mentors, but, you know, organizers, if you will, and they're seeing some things. And, you know, that even happens with youth in college and high school or whatever, where, you know, certain things you see inside a game that you don't see outside, or you know, most people don't. And if they're feeling some things and reading the game, I think it says a lot about Scaloni to accept that feedback and then make, you know, some adjustments from to get everybody on the same page, right? Say, hey, we're going to do this. That means X for you. I think it's pretty amazing if a coach, you know, connects with a player, not at that level, and understands what he's probably trying to do as a mentor, and maybe somebody who's been a little more experienced in those, they might try to, you know, guide them, but still make it their own. I think that's a coaching masterclass there, if you can help them understand or translate that, but also absorb the feedback they're doing and validate that. But yeah, I think, you know, Messi sees the game better than anybody. And I think he naturally does that. And I've seen some of the clips too, where he's saying things like, hey, I need this. I mean, I saw one point of view from a camera, somebody's iPhone, about when he looked up, you know, and he saw Martinez put his hand up, and then he stood him up, faced him up, act like he was going to go inside, dragged it, and then clipped it in there for it, you know. But it was Martinez that had his hand up. It was that cue there. I think those are things that, this is the reason why soccer's, you know, the best game in the world, is those are set plays on the field, right? Those aren't by design. And I think at that level, you know, kudos to Scaloni for you know, facilitating that. I don't think most of us have the luxury of leaning on Paredes and you know, and Messi. I think we are drawn to players with great soccer IQs, but they're, you know, almost everybody's equal there. You know, it's funny. Conversely, it's funny that you know, the English manager didn't listen to maybe some players who said we could have done that, and I think it might have cost them, because everybody is saying that they should have done something a little differently. Although, you know, if he gets away with it, right? You know, I mean, they did the exact same thing in Mexico. They didn't do anything in La Azteca. And I get it and I understand it. You know, did he do it too early? Yeah, but if he pulls it off, he's going to look like a genius. And that's the crux of coaching, right? But I think it was a fundamental mistake with how early they did it. And I didn't see that trust between the coach and the players, and that could bring us into, hey, guess what, the Argentinian staff, Aymar and Scaloni are all Argentinian, and you know, does that trust you know, level up when you are of the same country fighting for your country? I don't know. I don't know, but it's an it's a crazy statistic. And it sounds like if you want to win the World Cup, you almost have to have a manager of that country, you know. So yeah, it was pretty amazing to see, and I can only imagine that what Lionel Messi, you know, commanded on the field or naturally did, and then all the other players, with how much respect they have, adjusted according to what he did, leadership wise, non-verbal, just actionable. And then what Paredes at the water break, you know, you and I are chatting about the hydration break. Is it changing the game, you know, for the better? Because it's just that one moment, and you can make these small tweaks that you could not do, or were harder to do. Yeah. With relayed communication on a throw in or through a couple players to get it through the team. So fascinating, but full credit to Scaloni for listening to his players. And, you know, again, they're world class. So I would hope he would listen to their feedback.
I want to get into one more thing about this game with you, because it's a part of the field that I know you think about a lot, and how you construct the midfield. And we talked about Spain a little bit with Rodri. Fabian Ruiz has been the partner as of late, but we've seen Pedri as well, Dani Olmo as the 10. So the trio has been so strong. Argentina, in a lot of games, has went with a four-man midfield, with Paredes at the base, with Alexis McAllister, Enzo Fernandez, Rodrigo De Paul sometimes, but we've also seen some variations where it's been a Giuliano Simeone, like we saw against England. He was stretching the play out wide. We've seen Thiago Almada start more from a wide position cutting in. We've seen Nico Gonzalez. If you're going up against Spain's midfield, do you feel like with what Argentina has to work with, do you want superiority numerically? Or do you want that something different to be able to potentially pin fullbacks in and not let them join the attack?
I think I would play them straight up. Martinez, Enzo, Paredes, and McAllister against whatever three midfielders that the Spanish team will line up, obviously Rodri being one of them, and just try to see if you can draw out of them some emotional challenges about, hey, who's going to win the battle today? I think, you know, putting four midfielders does give you a numerical advantage, but I think you're going to have some mismatches on the sides. And I wouldn't really change anything at this point, philosophy-wise. I think some of their wide players actually cut in to create some numerical advantages by dribbling inside to create a fourth once they have the ball to encourage some overlapping play, especially when DePaul comes inside. But I think it's just leave it alone, be the best that you can be, and see if you can stimulate some of those guys just to beat their counterpart across and challenge them emotionally. Obviously, they're amazing competitors, and maybe by just playing them straight up, you might evoke a response that is going to unlock something at some moment. You know, both McAllister, Enzo obviously can shoot from long distance and have some great range. So I would leave it at that. You know, if they play four if Argentina lines up with four in the midfield and overpowers them that way, then that was the right call. But I think if it was me, I'd just play them straight up and just challenge them individually and collectively about who's going to own the game today. And I think with the passion those guys play with, I think that's the right move there. But we will see, and that's the amazing thing about this, that, you know, it's going to be one of the most clearly hyped up finals of all time. We hope it lives up to it, but I can't imagine it not being that way. So it's going to be exciting. Looking forward to it, and thanks so much for having me again on today. I always love being a part of it.
Big thank you to John Aiken for taking the time to chat with me, given the chalkboard set up here on AST. But one more segment to come, the 3-4-3. Three players to watch tomorrow, four headlines to wrap up this World Cup, and three things that make me smile. More AST on the other side on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. Final segment of AST, World Cup Final Eve. Big thanks to Madison Cruz and to Oglethorpe head coach John Aiken for chatting with me today. What's on tap? It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. What's on tap is the World Cup Final. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, you can watch on Fox, you can watch on Telemundo, you can watch in Piedmont Park, you can watch in... I know if you're in Athens, you can watch it at the Aikens Ford Arena. You can watch this in so many different places. If you want to watch it with us here at 92.9 The Game, you can watch it in South Downtown. Founders Green will have the game on in the park. Abe Gordon will be there from 2 to 6. We'll keep you updated if you're driving around. If you're not able to join us, we'll keep you updated on the game during it. And then Atlanta Soccer Tonight, the post-World Cup final edition. 6 to 9 tomorrow night, live from the Brewhouse Cafe in South Downtown. Cannot wait for this final. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And that brings us to the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three players to watch tomorrow, four headlines from around the tournament, and three things that make me smile. Number one on players to watch. I mean, it's kind of an easy one. I'm not going to put Lionel Messi in the players to watch. Y'all already know you're going to be watching him anyway. Lamine Yamal. And I'm going to put him in here just for a little bit different reason. He hasn't had a bad tournament by any stretch, but he hasn't had the breakout tournament that maybe we thought he was going to have coming in. He had a hamstring injury, missed the last month and a half or so of the La Liga season. It had been about 2 months before he had played when he came back into the team here in Atlanta. And he looked rusty. Like, rusty was what I kept coming back to. Not that he was still injured, and it wasn't fatigue. It was rust. Like, he just wasn't sharp. He's gotten sharper. Is he sharp enough for his first World Cup final? He's a guy who is very confident. He's a guy who's not arrogant, I don't think. I think he's just very confident in what he does. But also, with the way that his team plays, he doesn't have to do everything. So, does he have the breakout tomorrow? Or does he just do his job, which is stretch the team, especially Argentina, wants to play a high line, wants to get Nicolas Taliafico, the left back, high up the field? Does Yamal force him to defend more? How does that chess match go? We'll be talking about it throughout the day tomorrow. Number two, Julian Alvarez for Argentina. He is maybe Argentina's biggest attacking threat beyond Messi. He's walking into this final in a really weird spot, and a lot of people are talking about the tabloidishness of it, to make up a word, because in Spain, Julian Alvarez plays for Atletico Madrid. Alvarez has been very clear about wanting a move away from Atletico Madrid. Reportedly, there is a 200 million euro offer on the table that the Atletico Madrid president made a very big deal in the media in Spain about rejecting days before this final. Alvarez is not happy about that. There is a lot of talk saying that he will never play for Atleti again after the way this has all been handled. Is it a little bit of country pride trying to get into Alvarez's head, knowing that they're going to sell him no matter what? I don't know, but I haven't noticed during the tournament that Alvarez has been distracted by anything. I think he's played well. But does he get distracted by what is now becoming a talking point in the Spanish media? We're going to find out. And number three, I'm going to go with Leandro Paredes here on the Argentina side. Rodri is a Ballon d'Or winner, the holding midfielder for Spain. He's essential, as you heard John Aiken talk about. He's kind of the prototype for that position. Leandro Paredes interprets it differently, but he is just as influential in his team as Rodri. Paredes came back into the team after being injured coming into the tournament. He made the move back to play in Argentina from Serie A with Boca Juniors, and he makes everything work. He makes the entire team function correctly. Think back to the tackle he had against Egypt. So many other plays in the England match as well. He is absolutely essential for Argentina as their holding midfielder. All right, four headlines from around the tournament. Didier Deschamps, he managed his last match for France today in the third place match, his 185th match in charge of France. 14 years in charge of the program. He played for the program before that. His majority of his adult life has been with the French national team. He's stepping down. Zinedine Zidane reportedly will officially take over in September on a four-year deal. His first match is coming up during a Nations League window this fall. Number two, speaking of managers, Mauricio Pochettino. He spoke to Spanish radio over the weekend, and he said that a decision on his U.S. men's national team future is coming next week. Offer on the table reportedly through the next World Cup cycle through 2030. He told the radio station Cadena de Cope, if I'm not mistaken, that he is evaluating it, his people are evaluating it, his staff, his coaching staff that will probably follow him either staying in this job or going to another one, they're all talking about it. A decision will come this week, according to Mauricio Pochettino. Number three, let's go back to that third place game. It was insane. England had a 4-goal lead at halftime, and then France came most of the way back, and England ended up winning it in just the craziest of fashion. But it's French individual players that end up really being on the headlines here. Let's start with Michael Olise. He broke a 50-year-old Pelé record today. His assist on Kylian Mbappe's record-breaking goal was his seventh of the tournament. That breaks Pelé's mark, 6 assists in 6 games in the 1970 World Cup. Olise, if France had went on to win the tournament, he might have been the Ballon d'Or, or not, I don't think he's going to be quite Ballon d'Or, the Golden Ball winner of this tournament, even without scoring a goal because of all those assists. The reason why he probably wouldn't have is Kylian Mbappe is now, and this is the fourth headline, leading the Golden Boot race. He scored twice in this one. He is now 10 goals in the tournament, 22 in his World Cup career. He is the all-time leading scorer in World Cup history, 2 goals ahead of Lionel Messi. I thought that would happen eventually. I thought that it probably would happen in this tournament. I did not think Messi would make it this long as the all-time goal-scoring leader in World Cup history in this tournament. I thought Mbappe was going to pass him earlier. I didn't think Messi would be scoring as many goals as he has in this tournament. He's been insane. Kylian Mbappe has also been insane, and that game today, 6-4 England, was insane on so many different levels. Bukayo Saka with a hat trick, Jude Bellingham with a goal in the 98th minute to seal it for England. He got his 7th goal. That's the first time an English player has scored 7 or more goals in a World Cup. All right, 3 things that make me smile to wrap this up before we get ready for the World Cup final. Number one, I thought Lionel Messi and what he said about Lamine Yamal was very cool. Yeah, the picture from the UNICEF photo shoot when Yamal was a baby is crazy. But Messi was very complimentary of Lamine. He called him una locura, just a crazy freak of nature in the way that he plays. It's just it's a scene to watch him. And obviously, Messi still has a lot of love for Barcelona. So he talked about how he's kept up with him. He's been following him. He's excited to share the field with him tomorrow. Crazy. Just a crazy situation that you have the all-time idol of Barcelona and what he has done for FC Barcelona playing against the new idol of Barcelona, Argentina, Spain, and Messi, and so many connections to Spain. That kind of leads me to number two on things that make me smile. Lionel Scaloni. We haven't talked about that as much. His journey is amazing, but he played for Mallorca. He met his wife in Mallorca. He still lives in Mallorca. His son is in Mallorca's youth academy right now. He coaches Argentina against the country, Spain, where he's built his whole life, playing in and after playing. That's going to be a mix of emotions for a very emotional guy. And it's just all these different coincidences, or nothing's a coincidence and everything means something. It's just fascinating that we're getting all these different things with Argentina and Spain. And number three, just this entire tournament, I would have never guessed that it would be this good. I would have never guessed that it could have lived up to all of the excitement, all of the hype. It's so hard to do that. It's so hard to have a 48-team tournament for the first time and have it come out this good. It's so hard for the overwhelming majority of the matches to be this good. We've had drama. We've had comebacks. We've had amazing goals. We've had amazing performances individually, emotional moments. The hosts all had great tournaments. So many things. And to kind of close this out, and you guys, again, you know I'm an Argentina fan, so this has been a wild ride for me watching this, because I wasn't sure they'd be here. I wasn't sure they'd get to this. I wasn't sure even in the round of 32 that they'd come back to play in Atlanta in the round of 16. They did. They found a way through Cabo Verde. They had the greatest comeback in World Cup history against Egypt in our building. Then they had to survive a crazy game with Switzerland. They did. And then the semifinal is one of the all-time great semifinals. Argentina coming back to beat England with two goals 6 minutes apart in the last 10 minutes of the match. Lionel Messi just posted something on his Instagram. He said, "The best thing about all these years was never just the titles, but the whole journey. Sharing every day with this group, competing together, getting back up in difficult moments, and enjoying every step. Thanks to each of my teammates, the coaching staff, and all the people who work every day to ensure that this team continues to be a family." He said, "Whatever happens tomorrow, this group has already written a history that we will never forget and that no one will ever be able to erase. Go Argentina." And he posted a picture of the entire traveling party, all the players, all the coaching staff, all of the support staff. You're getting to that point of this. It is emotional. It is a big deal. It is two teams that I think approach the game in the right way. I think two teams that try to play, two teams that try to score, two teams that want the ball, two teams that have different approaches, but I think they share that philosophy of everything is about the ball. Everything is about the collective. Everything is about the team functioning together. And that's what we love about this sport, isn't it? I think we're all going to love this final. I think it could be, again, one of the all-time greats. We've had so many all-time great things in this tournament. The final's got to be that, right? I hope that it lives up to all of the expectation. I hope that whoever you're rooting for, I hope that we are all entertained by the conclusion to this 2026 World Cup. We got one more Atlanta soccer tonight. Tomorrow, live from the Brewhouse Cafe in South Downtown, 6 to 9. Come see us if you're in the area. Come watch the game in South Downtown. Or you can listen to us on the radio, as always. Thanks to everybody who's been listening to the show for now 49 straight days. One more to go, and we'll know who the champion is by the time we start it. Argentina, Spain tomorrow. Y'all have a good rest of the night. Adios, everybody.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.